when someone says like, well, how long is this going to take? I'm like, you have not decided to the unseen terms of the game. You've not chosen to be successful yet. I guarantee that if someone puts the work in and they work hard, they put their head down and they don't look at the clock and they compare themselves to themselves only, and they compare themselves to their day before only, the chances of success are really high. 99%, baby. Put in the work. Just put in the work.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
What's going on? It's Steve Larson. Welcome back to Sales Funnel Radio. Hey, I'm excited for this episode today because I've spent actually a good amount of time thinking about this episode, and I originally thought it would be something else, and it's turned into something else entirely. So I want to go through 5 entrepreneurial confidence tricks. This has nothing to do with saying whether or not you are a confident person, right? That might be, neither here nor there. This episode, though, what I want to share with you guys is I want to share with you more about how to have the confidence to try again if, like, the last thing you just did didn't work, right? And if you are in this gravy train at all, baby, you understand, right? That sometimes the circus goes on in your life and crap hits the fan and nothing works and you feel like you got to start totally over. I've done 19 live events now. 19 live events. Holy crap. Like, not spoken at. Like, our own 19 events. So many events. And I always have a very similar format for my events. And at some point, I definitely want to do an event on events because there's a ton of strategy behind event throwing. But I only bring that up because I always give Q&A at these events. And easily, one of the biggest questions, it's always the same core themes that I get asked during Q&A times at events. And one of them is inevitably, someone always raises their hand and they always go, and I get why they're asking it. I totally get it. But they ask the question, something to the effect of, Steve, how do you have so much energy? Or, hey, how did you know this was going to work? And I always laugh at those because how do I have so much energy? I go to sleep, I wake up, I choose to do different things with my time than most people do. I mean, we all got the same 24 hours, right? We all got the same 24 hours. And then when they ask, like, how did you know this would work? I don't always know it would work. And it's really interesting. The only reason I'm doing this episode is because this last weekend, I was able to talk with a spiritual leader guide guy. It's as vague as that can be. For a little while, though. And he had a cool accent. And he was like, someone asked him in the room a question, you know, like, hey, how do you know when you've arrived, right? Or how do you know when you've accelerated or whatever? And he said something really interesting. He said, the master has failed more times than the student has ever even tried. He says, so just put your head down and go. And he was talking about like self-development, you know, thing. But I love that. The master has failed more times than the student has ever even tried. You know, and when he said that, I was like, oh my gosh, that is wildly true. you guys know my story. 34 product tries to finally get one to work. Then after 34, the following 55 did. Like, and that's why I get a little frustrated sometimes when someone will be like, you know, like, Steve, what's the guarantee that this formula works? And I'm like, I know it works because I went through so many tries of things that didn't. I can tell you exactly what does not work, right? And right, and that's just part of it. And so what I wanted to talk about, 5 entrepreneurial confidence tricks, or I should even say like 5 entrepreneurial ways to refuel your courage to go again, you know, to get after it and start moving. Because that's a common question. How did you know? Well, you don't, right? You really don't, right? And you aren't the one buying it. So stop asking you what you would make, right? Right there. That was like one of the biggest hurdles I had to overcome. I did that way too often. I would constantly ask me what I thought. Oh yeah, I think people would want that. That's the worst thing you can do, right? And I just didn't understand that. I didn't understand how, you know, so much. Guys, I've gone through so much in the last like 5-6 years as I've done this game. Technically, my first entrepreneurial attempt, I think, was 9 years ago. So I was 1 year older than my daughter. That's when I started. But feel like there's been lifetimes in there. So anyways, hey, without further ado, let me continue on to this. Because so what I did is I spent some time going through a lot of old speeches. I spent some time going through some pieces of reflection in terms of entrepreneurial rejuicing. And so I want to just walk through what some of those are right now, right? And just walk through and see, you know, and I'm proof of what that guy was saying, right? I have definitely failed more than 99% of people will ever even try. And I think one of the reasons is because, like, this is not one of the five things, but the expectations that people have when they're a brand new entrepreneur are so ludicrous. There's a guy that I recently was coaching, and he was like, hey, I want to be making, it was some astronomical number every month. And I was like, well, that's cool, but like, what are you currently making with it? And he's like, well, I'm starting from scratch. I'm still building the product. And I was like, oh, you are doomed. You can't do that, right? That's one of the major issues right out of the gate anyways. Like, I only want seven-figure ideas. I was like, okay, if you want million-dollar ideas, I get it. But that is the worst place on planet Earth to start your expectations at. Try to make a buck, just $1, right? Just go sell something. Get the market to raise its hand and say, uh-huh, I'm interested, right? That's so much more real. That's so much better. Is it any surprise that, like, think about this. All right, a doctor has to go to school for like 10 years minimum, right? Like if they go in these specialty stuff, it might even be longer than that, but we're talking at least 8 years of schooling to be a doctor. And then after that amount of dedication, study, and hard work to become a profession, then they got this residency. They got all this, there's so much stuff that goes in to convincing the marketplace to pay them what's like a standard doctor salary. I mean, I know it's all over the board, but let's just say, I don't know, $250,000 to $500,000 to maybe $1 million a year, kind of like right in that range, the spot where I know a lot of us would want our salaries to be. So how is it that a brand new entrepreneur who's never sold anything ever and really has never done their own product can with confidence say, this is going to be $1 million per year, right? Or $1 million a month, or like some crazy number when they have like reset your expectations. How could you expect to make that kind of money and not spend 8 years? Does that make sense? If that's what it's taken for someone else to make that kind of take-home pay, it's crazy to come and think, well, I tried the funnel game. I tried it. I gave it a solid 3 weeks. Like, what? Or someone would be like, my last three products didn't work. And I'm like, yeah, did you learn? You know, I love that story with Elon Musk, which, by the way, good on him buying Twitter, right? That's sweet. I have such respect for him. I think he's so awesome. Anyway, I have such respect for Elon Musk when they were building all those rockets. And anytime one of his rockets would fail, wasn't it like $200 million that would explode every time a rocket would blow up? And he was asked about it. And he's like, actually, I got to tell you, we learn more from the explosions than we do the successes. He's like, some reporter talking to him about it. He's like, yeah, I learned so much from the failures that it's not a failure at all. We get leaps and leaps of information compared to a successful thing. And I was just like, oh, that is just so true. That's exactly how it is, right? And so what a lot of this game is just having the courage to step back up to the plate, right? Being in the game long enough to actually learn the game, right? To actually, let alone master it, just even learn the rules, right? Versus when somebody steps in and they say, look, I'm going to go and I'm going to be this hyper mega ridiculous success out of nowhere. Does that happen? Yeah, but that is really rare. Okay. It's really, really rare. It's more common that you're going to have several failures. It's more common that you're going to need to obsess. It's more common that you got to work your face off for a while. It's more common that you're going to have a few webinars no one buys from. It's more common that you're going to publish for a long time before you really start to feel any, right? And so that like just speaking real here, right? That is exactly what it is. So how do you endure that? Because it is the reality. Now, is the fruit on the other side delicious and amazing and abundant? Oh, yeah, baby. Right? Of course. Go do it. Go do all the, like, be all in, right? Because on the other side is amazing. And I'm not saying it's got to take 8 years. The only reason it took me so long is because when I started the funnel game, the only piece of education out there that I knew of was the book Dotcom Secrets. There's no One Funnel Away Challenge. None of Russell's books are out there. ClickFunnels had like 10,000 users. There was like 25,000 people in the Facebook group. Like when I got there, you could kind of get to know a huge percentage of the group, right? It wasn't 100,000, 150,000, however many, whatever they're at now, right? Like huge, massive numbers and 300 or 400 employees. And you know what I'm saying? Like, so there really was not a lot of education. So a lot of what I teach is from my own personal trial and error of understanding what works. And I spend more time trying to dissuade myself of a principle than coming up with it. And so anyway, just standing right with Elon Musk on that statement, like you learn so much from the failures. So I want to even contend that as to whether or not failure exists. I'm not so sure. I don't know if failure is real. Someone again asked recently, like, oh man, for all the times you failed. And I was like, well, not to like, I'm not trying to be harsh here, but like, did I really fail? Because I would not have had the success of number 35 if I did not go through number 34. Right. And I wish my 35th try could have been try number one, but there's no way, number one, that I would have been able to pull that off. Just skill set wise, I just didn't understand everything that I needed to actually make it work. But the second thing is that I personally, as an individual, could drive a ship capable of running. That's the other thing you're running against. Remember that first episode of season two, we talk about the parallel journey. A lot of people who get into the entrepreneurial game, they got to work on their captainship just a little bit, right? They got to work on the craft of running, owning, maintaining, calling the shots for, planning the to-do list, all the maintenance, right? Team stuff. Of running a business, right? Captaining the ship, right? Do you have the confidence to stand in front of a company, even if it's just you, and treat it like a real company? Most of us, I didn't. So have grace with yourself if it's not working out, but you still got a vision, right? Have grace with yourself if it's not something that is actually like, you know, anyway. So you're going to learn like crazy is my point, and that's okay. So I'm going to walk through a few things here that has helped me really recharge batteries when something has felt crappy or, you know, during another failure or, I mean, I got some news today that was tough, but I was like, okay, like good thing I've got some command of, you know, on how to make money, right? And once it's a skill set, it's a skill set and you can call on that whenever you need to and employ it. But how on earth do you continue to stand up? Where does that come from? That's a tough skill set. And there's a few aspects of this that I know that like logically will really help, but it's really tough to transfer emotional lessons. So while I'm going to share some of these lessons with you and it'll be tactical and there'll be things like, oh, do this or that, or this might help here or there. Think of that like bricks. Your own experience is going to be the mortar, right? Your own experience is going to be the mortar. I can't tell you like your market is different than mine. Your dream customer is different than mine. Your business is different than mine. There's no way I can know everything about your company, right? There's things that you just know that I don't. So treat what I'm about to say like bricks, but your own experience, application, right? What it's like to be on the ground floor while it's happening, that's the mortar. I can't do that part. That's all you, right? So these are just some bricks to help you get some momentum there. All right, sweet. So number one, and this might be a little bit different than you're thinking. All right, five entrepreneurial confidence tricks or the ability to get back up and go again. Funny enough, number one for me is, these were lessons that I had to learn, by the way, before I really started seeing some serious money. And number one was I actually had to change my relationship with money. I didn't realize that. I thought that money was just something that I could just, you know, I had an unhealthy relationship with cash. I thought that if you get rich, you turn into a jerk. Or if you make a lot of money, money will take me against my will and it will take me and change me into something that I'm not. And oh my gosh, it's holding me hostage in my personality and who I am. And I slowly become the rich jerk. And I, you know, just for fun, never use a blinker in an SUV anymore. Flip people off for no good reason. I even cackle. You know what I'm saying? That's a big fear that a lot of people have, is that money makes them into someone that they don't want to be and takes them against their will. That, and I had that one hard. So much so that I studied a lot of religious texts about money because I really wanted to. That was a solid 10 years ago. Because I knew that it was a hang up for me, that the way I treated money and the way my relationship with cash was wrong. But think about this right now. All right, you listening right now. When I say the word money, what's the first thing that pops up in your head? Happy, sad, scared, anxiety, fear. Is it controlling you or you controlling it, right? What are these different aspects and pieces that will allow you to change your relationship with cash? So the first thing you got to do is you got to become brutally honest with your relationship with cash. And becoming brutally honest with your relationship with money is a lot of times harder than solving your relationship with money, right? Just being honest about where you are. Are you actually afraid of cash? Because if so, that's okay. Just like Batman became Batman because he's afraid of bats, that is actually one of the reasons I became the capitalist pig. It's because I still had some money false beliefs. I still had, you know, what I thought was possible as big blocks in my head, huge filters is what. So anyway, this whole idea that money takes you and turns you into what you are and something you don't want to be, it's not true in the first place. And that is a entrepreneurial retry confidence thing, right? And this is the reason. Walk through the scenario with me. You just did an entrepreneurial attempt. You created this offer. You spent nights. You put all this stuff together, right? You didn't sleep. You sacrificed. You put the offer together. You put the sales message together. You put a funnel together. You go and you get a launch out the door and crickets, right? It's a little bit easy to sit back and let money start calling the shots in your head. Ooh, you're not good enough. Oh, you're not smart enough. Oh my gosh, why can that person do it and I can't, right? And it's really challenging sometimes to keep yourself from sinking into the temptation that how much you made in a launch is tied to your self-worth or somehow your identity. That's what I'm talking about. How do you have the juice to get back up again? First off, spot check that what you just went through is not being labeled as a failure. It's only a failure if you don't learn from it. I hate that adage where it's like, it's only a failure if you don't get back up again. It's like, okay, that's true. But I think it's more powerful to say it's only a failure if you don't learn from it. If you don't learn from it, then yeah, it was a failure. Therefore, I have never failed, but I learned 34 times. Does that make sense? I learned so much. Oh my gosh. So just keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Number one, spot check your relationship with cash and with what you just launched or may have failed or maybe didn't do as well as you wanted to. See to it that it is not a reflection of your self-identity or self-worth. And if it is, just be honest about that. No judgment. No one else needs to know. Don't tell anyone else if you don't want to. That's okay. But just be cognizant of that and hold space for the fact that you might be the variable that is not working in terms of how you think about cash, right? And I also see this one a lot of times in brand new entrepreneurs when they, if they're not really ever done sales much, because they always have those internal hangups. It's always the same hangups. I'm not worthy enough to sell. Ooh, that price is too high. Selling is taking from someone else, right? So it's like all those brand new square one mentality issues that everyone who's brand new ever begins with. No, you're not the only one. We all go through it, right? But just make sure that it's not what's calling the shots. The easiest way to make sure it's not calling the shots is to simply become aware of it. I love Mandy Keene. She's an Inner Circle coach, right? Helps run it. Mandy Keene has been one of my personal coaches also for 5 years now. And we were talking, and what she told me one time was, she said, Stephen, healing is, funny enough, just 80% awareness. And I was like, oh, that's true for any type of healing, right? Just becoming aware of the formula, you're probably at least going to execute it a little bit. Just becoming aware of the fact that there are certain rules on the road that's going to keep you safe, you're probably going to 80% follow it. Awareness is 80% healing internally as well. And I invite you, if you really are having money hangups, I got four others here. We're already 20 minutes in, so I'll keep going here. But if you really do have money hangups, hold space for the fact that you might have a damaged relationship with money, that it's not money, right? And with self-love and respect, it's you, right? You might have an irresponsible relationship with money. What does that mean, Steve? Think about responsibility. I love the word responsibility. What does that mean to be responsible? It means I'm able to respond. Response-able. So that's different than reacting. Right? The only difference between nature and humans is that an animal reacts to a threat, whereas an adult who's mature responds to a threat. That's very different. And it's very, and so what I want to do is I'm trying to bring to your awareness, if you have any kind of like money false beliefs, any kind of money stuff that pops up, I have found that more often that is usually one of the things that keeps people from not having a successful launch. It's not that you're, honestly, like 80% of the time, your offers that I've seen, and I've seen a lot of offers from Funnelland, thousands, literally. Most of the offers are good enough to make money. That's not the problem. Yeah, the funnel could have some tweaks. Usually there's some tweaks and some upgrading. That makes sense. But usually it's a sales message and a hook problem in terms of the funnel. And in the entrepreneur, it's usually some hang up around money. Not is their thing good? Not is there a market? Not is it valuable and people want it? It's that they're getting in their own dang way, right? And they're standing in front of their own sellability, subconsciously sabotaging their next try. So I'm just bringing it up. Okay, that was 20 minutes on one. I'll go faster to these other four. But I just wanted to make that square one because it usually is square one for people whenever I coach them. So number one, trick to getting back up and be confident as an entrepreneur again. Make sure that your foundation is not on sand, that you got a solid bedrock, you know, foundation, by first understanding that you are even down to make money and that you are not having money false beliefs and your relationship with cash is healthy. And you know it's not evil to make money, and you know it's not evil to want money, and you know it's not evil to have a ton of it and actively seek it in your life. It's what you do with it that matters, right? It's what you do with it that matters. And again, back to Elon, that's heavy on my mind right now because I think it's amazing what you just did. That guy, as a billionaire, decides to go off and use his money to buy something for what he says he just wants to keep the internet uncensored. He wants to keep it from being, what a cool thing. Tell me that's not somehow philanthropic and humanitarian. We are all begging for that. Come on. That is the essence of get rich, give back of the capitalist pig. That is an epic relationship with money. That's the kind of relationship with money I want to continue to have with it. That when cool things pop up like that, heck yeah, I'm going to go all in with that. Like that's so cool. So please get rich on purpose. You're not going to buy Twitter or anything like that if you're not rich, right? Get rich. Doesn't happen on accident, right? That could be a whole episode right there. Let me just go to the second one real quick. Number two, when people ask how long is this going to take, what I have found is that they've got to really, I have found that usually means they don't have personal confidence. It's usually a self-trust issue. Like, think about this. If I can tell you the exact formula of how I made $11 million in 4 years, would you want to know that? Because it's still the same formula we use today. So where do you, of course you would, right? So where do people get the hangups? It's still the same formula. And when I consult people, it's still with the same formula. And when I hand it off and I'm no longer in the marketing seat, it's still the same formula. Guys, I'm using the same formula for everything all the time. And people are like, how do you do it? And I'm like, well, here you go. It is an $1,000 course. It's a $997. It's a course. It's awesome. It's the same formula I use every single time I do any single offer or funnel project ever. And where do you think hangups happen? They start asking questions like, well, how long will this take? I'm like, man, are you committed? Gosh, seriously, are you committed? Right? That would drive me nuts. I hate that one. But what I found that it really is when someone, how long will this take? Is they're trying to judge their pain tolerance before the journey. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. I started doing this thing. I don't do it every time, but I do it a lot of times. I started doing this thing, I'd say 2.5 years ago now, that whenever I start a new project, I just say to myself, I agree to the terms of the game, both seen and unseen. I agree to the terms of the game I'm about to play, both seen and unseen. Okay, when it's cool about that is it allows you to step back and say and acknowledge instead of how long is this going to take? That's a dumb question. That is a dumb question. Because what you should be saying is, how much am I willing to work? How much can I? Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent?
I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, "We've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all." My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and managed the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode. I put in, how long will I be able to dedicate per day for this? You're looking at the wrong side, right? How long will this take? I don't know, right? You see what I'm saying? Like, I've had people who have success with my formulas in 2 days and they're making crazy money. I've also had people who just freaking twiddle their thumbs forever. Right? And they'll follow me for years and still never do anything. What's the difference between those mentalities? I have found that it is because there's a lot of them, but one of the foremost is they have a weird relationship with their expectations of how long it takes, meaning they don't know how to judge success, how far they're willing to go in on it. Like, asking how long it will take is a dumb question. It's the equivalent of saying, "I'll commit, we'll just try it for a month and then we'll see." I'm like, gosh, don't even buy for me. Don't even buy for me. You're not committed. Are you in or out? Do you know what it means to make a decision? I love this. You know what an incision is, right? An incision surgery, right? They go in and they'll do a cut and they'll, an incision, right? Meaning you're cutting into. A decision, though, means you are cutting away every other option from your choice. So when you think about a decision, you're deciding to cut off all else so that you can focus and get on that zero, that just that one thing. And I have found that when someone asks, how long is this going to take? What they have not done is actually made a real decision, and they're trying to have me make their decision for them, and I will not do that. It's their decision, right? I'm not Frodo, you're Frodo. I'm Gandalf. Does that make sense? I love that. That's from a story brand. It's a good book. That makes sense though? So it's like when someone says like, well, how long is this going to take? I'm like, you have not decided to the unseen terms of the game. You've not chosen to be successful yet. I guarantee that if someone puts the work in and they work hard and they put their head down and they don't look at the clock and they compare themselves to themselves only and they compare themselves to their day before only, right? The chances of success are really high. 99%, baby. Put in the work. Just put in the work. But what I never guarantee is when someone stands back and they start saying like, how long is this going to take? You know what, Steven, I decided to get your program and I know it's a year thing that you're doing, but on month two, you know what? I think I'm already out. I'm like, you were never in. You were never in. And right? I get so frustrated by that. You want your coaches and mentors to notice you? Just be their best student. It's like the most flattering thing to a creator ever. Okay, next one here. So number one, what was your relationship with cash? That refuels entrepreneurial confidence, right? Number two, instead of asking how long will this take, you ask yourself, am I comparing me against me and me against yesterday only? Or am I comparing me against that guy or girl and me against that person's timeline? You have your own story. You have got your own thing. And you've got this. Some of you are just, you're living your future hook. Some of you are just living
You're giving in mat time, baby, right? Just you're giving time on the mat. This is gym time, right? And it hasn't hit yet. And that's fine. And the other reason why it's tough is that if you don't come into this game committing and you stop looking at the timeline and you stop it, if you don't do that, what ends up happening is this weird, it's emotional. It is so much harder to not commit than it is to fully commit. Because when you don't fully commit, you got this weird one toe in thing going on. It's just a single toe in, and the single toe in is keeping you from actually playing the game. But you're like, oh, I'm getting the semblance of motion. I feel momentum in my life because I'm learning and learning and learning and learning and stuck learning all the time. And all I do is learn and I never actually implement. It's so much better to, funny enough, and it's going to sound backwards, but it's actually easier just to decide and move on one thing than it is to not decide and constantly be wondering, well, I'm just going to do it perfectly. No, you're not, because you're not the one that's buying it. Your marketplace is. You can't even make something perfect without getting in front of your market. You just can't. Just launch it. Get out the door. 80% is 100%, right? I get feisty on these because these are all old things that I've just coached. I was trying to guess it. I think collectively, my students have made over 100 million, which is pretty cool. Now, that's obviously across tens of thousands of people in my courses, but multi-tens of thousands. And I'm not trying to flex here with this, but these are just, the only reason I'm saying that is because, like, look, like, these are extremely common patterns in every person I coach, and I can always usually tell what they're about to say before they do. And I do intend to just bring them forward to smash them because I want you to win. And I also hate dealing with some of these objections. I'm just like, how long will this take? I'm like, oh gosh, I'm gonna flip a freaking desk. Woof! Like, stop asking that question. Flip it and ask, how much can I commit? How much time can I put in per day? And just watch the results in your life explode. Asking how much time will it take every day is some of the largest scarcity mindset I see. It just drives me nuts. So, all right, let me move on. Number three to getting confidence back is to remind yourself that you will always be prepared as you go, and seldom ever be prepared before you go. Right. Another principle I call this principle, or another name I call this principle, is that you cannot steer a parked car. So you will never feel prepared. You will never feel 100% like, okay, I just got to prepare a little more and then I'm ready to rock. Like, it doesn't work like that. It does not work like that. The path prepares you for the peak. And unfortunately, you can't skip the path on the way to the peak. The path is the way to the peak. And it will not always be straight, and it'll be windy and be like, oh crap, I got to course correct and go back over here. And I got to go this way. And ooh, the trailer ran out right here. I got to dig my own trail for a little while. And ooh, okay, I picked back up someone else's trail who's been here before I have. Let me learn from them for a while. It's just a game of that. That's all it really is. But you're always prepared while you go. You are never prepared before you go. And so I see a lot of people who drop opportunities that would otherwise probably change their life, but they don't take them because they're like, well, I'm not totally ready for that yet. And I'm like, ah, no, stop it. No, it makes me sad. All right, I love this one, this next one. Number four is to remember that environment is stronger than willpower. I love this story. I've shared this a few times on stages, so some of you guys might be familiar with this, but there is this is an incredible book called Willpower Doesn't Work. I think it's Darren Hardy. I think so. That wrote it. And interesting book. And in this book, he's going and doing his PhD, and he realizes his PhD is, he's trying to figure out, like, willpower, right? And he's just like, how is there a huge burst of willpower? How can moms lift a car off a child, right? Huge feats of strength and one big push. What is it that controls willpower? Because if we could control willpower, I mean, we change the whole world, right? So he's doing his PhD on this. He gets like halfway through his PhD dissertation research, right? He's getting through his research and he finds that willpower really just kind of sucks. Like, willpower is weak. Willpower gives out. Willpower is not actually the thing that really changes human behavior long term. You don't really willpower your way into a new you. Not very well. And so he started shifting it more to what actually changes long term behaviors. And there was one thing that did. Environment. That's it. Environment. And so I don't always want to work, but guess what happens when I sit in front of my desk? What are the chances that I work when I sit in front of my desk? The chances that I work are really, really high because of the environment. When I go out to the gym, in our garage, and I just pick up the first set of weights, even if I don't feel like it, guess what's going to happen? Because of the environment. Does that make sense? Willpower is weak. Environment is stronger than willpower. It's the same reason why I like to usually have like a 9 a.m. meeting. We don't have those every morning now, but I like to have some earlier morning beat of the drum. And it's because I don't always trust myself to be working otherwise. Steven, how do you stay so disciplined? I don't. My trick is environments. I talked about that in the first episode of this podcast of season 2. But it's so the reason why I bring this up is because it's like, okay, if you're trying to get back your entrepreneurial confidence, you're trying to kick it back into gear, it literally might be as easy as you returning back to your creative environment. Lick your wounds for, you know, a few minutes or a few hours if it's that way, it was really tough. If it was like something devastating, maybe a couple of days, but get back on the saddle. Just get up and go. I told you guys that when I was in door-to-door sales, we were required to sprint to our first door every day to knock. Same thing when I was in telemarketing. We were required to pick up the phone and dial as fast as we could. And it's because environment is stronger than willpower. You get a lot of rejection when you're in those sales environments. So how do you get around it? With the sales environment itself, not your willpower. Make sense? Simple trick. Wildly effective, though. Wildly effective. I really have enjoyed that one. So just ask yourself, you're like, hey, I need some more. I actually use this principle in two different ways. The first principle is to say, like, entrepreneurially, what is my entrepreneurial creation environment? For a long time, it was the family room couch at 5 a.m., right? For 2 or 3 hours before I'd go to actual work. Or it was Russell Brunson's office at 6 a.m., which I did that for one for quite a while. I was there at 6 a.m. and just putting in 3 hours before work, right? It was, right? I mean, a physical environment. That's what I'm talking about, a physical environment. What is your environment? Does it condone and help you overcome willpower? Because while you do need to listen to your feelings also will jack you up in this way if you constantly listen to your feelings in order to start a project. What helps you feel like you can start another project? I don't always feel like I'm starting a project. But what I am is getting into an environment where that's likely to happen. It's a simple trick, but it works really well. All right, and then number 5 here. Number 5, and I'll recap all of them just real fast, just the titles of them after this. But number 5 here, one of the greatest ways to increase your entrepreneurial confidence to take another shot is literally with just what you say to yourself. Just what you say to yourself, your self-talk. Your self-talk, let me give an example. These are some phrases that I repeat to myself frequently. Here we go. I started doing this when I decided that I was going to be the best funnel builder on the planet. Am I? I doubt it. But look what the pursuit of it opened up. That's the point too. Like, just calling your shot and moving is half of the gift. Just calling your shot and moving. It's really hard for, I totally believe in God, right? It's very hard for God, the universe, right? Anything in the meta to conspire for your sake if you are never clear on what you want. If you've never planted the flag and said, this is what I'm going for. This, watch me go there. If you never say that, the chances of you hitting it are almost nothing. Right? Clarity and being able to communicate your single goal that you want is massive. And so when you take a hit entrepreneurially, or it's been really tough or whatever, your self-talk is loaded with things like, here's my goal. Let me visualize my goal. I mean, I used to step on the stage to get my 2 Comic Club award in my head hundreds of times before it actually happened. What did it taste like, smell like? What did it look like? What was it feeling? What music was playing? I mean, I was in it. I am visualizing my goals. I am creating. I'm spending. There's a whole world with your eyes closed. Holy smokes. Spend time building it in your head. Also really helps you filter when opportunities pop up that probably would you should not take, you know, that are distractions and are just testing your will and testing your resolve, you know. Because if you don't know the goal, then anything sounds good. It's all got to tie back to what you want. But okay, so here's like this little list though of things that I'll say. This is all self-talk that I say to obviously myself. In no particular order, I don't say them all the time. These are not meant to be like affirmations, but they are meant to be just reminders of who I believe I am. Right. So I just tell myself, I'll look in the mirror or I'll say it to myself, like, I was created to create. I was built to build. Saved to save. I was born to win. I've never lost. I've only learned. Make it hard, coach. Right? Pressure makes diamonds, baby. Instead of saying, well, how long is this going to take? Right? How soft can you make this, coach? It's like, ugh, come on. Seek it, baby. You want it or not. You take that hill. Make it hard, coach. I don't want it to be easy. Can't smoke a rock, drill sergeant. Oh, right? And yeah, man, I get tough with it. I do some swearing a lot also. It's just not part of my brand. It's the reason I don't bring it up here. I do tell myself that God would rather me be rich than poor. I'll figure it out or die. And since I'm not going to die, it means I'll figure it out. I ask myself how I can do something epic today. Oh, substitute that word. I miss the days where people would brag about how cool they are. I want to bring that out. When you get out on social media and someone's like, instead of complaining all the freaking time, like I feel like we do now, not everyone, I'm not talking to you listening to us now, right? But you know what I'm saying? Like, geez, the world is using social media as its own therapy sessions. Right? It's ridiculous. It's so annoying. I want to get back to the days where someone sells a crap ton of money and they get on social media and they celebrate it and everyone else goes, yeah. And instead of going, I'm not worthy. How come that wasn't me? We look at that person and go, good job. You did the work. That's awesome. And you cheer each other on. Yeah. So I ask myself how I can be epic today. Do something rare, weird, abnormal. What can I do today that will bring me attention? Right? Another trick that I do for self-talk is I will confront my own mortality. I'm not trying to get dark here, but in 2019, the United Nations estimate on an average lifespan globally was about 72.6 years, which is much higher than, it's much higher than really any other time. So 72 years, right? And let's just say 72 years minus, I just turned 34. By this, I got 38 years left. I'm almost halfway through my life by this. I don't believe that. I honestly think I'm going to live in my 90s. But, you never know. But hey, I mean, think about it. So, all right, let's just say, I'm doing this right here, 38 years times 365 days. Man, that means I only got 13,870 days left to live. Think about that. You got one shot, baby. And no one's getting out of this alive. You might as well go big. Try something big. Dare greatly, baby. Woo! Get some, right? And that's what I think about. I'm like, let's do this. What is the thing that I'm going to go after? And just go after it. Who cares if you fail? Everyone else does too, whatever. It's actually selfish of you to think that everyone is looking at you. Everyone's not looking at you. They're building their own business too. I guarantee most people haven't even noticed that you went through a failure. Maybe a very small percentage. And if you got no audience, then maybe like two people know that you failed. Who cares? What you're going against is this battle against self, self-identity, self-worth, what it's based in, where it comes from. Those are the hangups that keep people from moving in this space. And I don't usually do mentality episodes like this much. Well, I guess I will a lot more in season two, but this is the crap that stops someone's funnel from working. And what someone usually thinks it is like, well, my copy wasn't good. I'm like, really? Was it that? Or was it the fact that you didn't go get on a million podcast episodes and try to go make as much noise as possible because you have an internal hangup that making noise equals being annoying? See what I'm saying? This is the game, and it's where it's played. It's all in the noggin. I'm the same guy as 9 years ago when I started in terms of my name. I still got the same blood type. But the reason I am different is because I gave myself to the game. And I said, mold me, game. Change me, game. Game, I submit myself to you. Show me where I'm wrong. Don't assume you're right. Assume you're wrong and let people who are down the path actually show you where to come from with it. Anyway, all right. I feel like I'm saying too much now. This is easier, one of the longer episodes I'll do on the show also, but it's just a biggie. All right. So gaining back entrepreneurial confidence has everything to do with mentality. No one or nothing else is stopping you. One of my favorite things I ask in my events is I like to say, I said, why do you want money? You know, people are like, because I want the freedom to go out and do what I want every day. I'd be like, okay. I'd be like, why else? Be like, oh, because I want the freedom to build something that gives me more value and more income. And I'm like, freedom, that's a weird thing. So I stop this guy one time and I say, you already are free right now. You're free now. You don't need money to be free. I understand what you're saying. You're saying you want to buy your time back. I get that. But to say that you want to be your own boss, you don't need money to do that. You actually can start with nothing. Congrats, you're your own boss now, right? And begin like that. Gosh, it's the path that prepares you. You do not prepare yourself before getting on the path. Path prepares you always. Okay, number one, spot check your relationship with cash. That will easily hijack any additional entrepreneurial attempt. Stop asking how long it'll take. It takes as long as it takes, but when it hits, it'll change your life. So ask yourself if that's worth it. Remember that it's you against you and you against yesterday only. Number three, right? Remember, like I just said, that you're prepared as you go. So expect to not feel always amazing and totally prepared before you move. Number four, remember that environment is greater than willpower. Therefore, if you need to take another shot and it didn't quite work, don't abandon the entrepreneurial physical environments that overcome your willpower. What are the mechanisms you can put in place in your life that hold your feet to the fire when you don't feel like it? I do that all the time. I hate most meetings. I loathe them. I can't tell you how much I hate them. I'm not built for meetings. But it's really helpful Monday morning to have a 9 a.m. call with the team always standing. Why? Because it gets me standing. That makes sense. I just use it against myself because although I trust myself, I don't always trust my willpower. All right, number four, watch your self-talk. You're not a loser if you've lost. All right, watch your self-talk. And remember to continually visualize what is it you want. You are always a winner in your head far before you are in real life. And to be blunt, there's just a lot of brand new entrepreneurs who frankly are losers in that they are losers in their head, which is why, and it could be a skill set thing, but I know way more now than I ever did on my first funnel that worked. I know way more now. You don't have to know how much I know now in order to be successful. The bar to success is way lower than people think it is. But you're going to be a winner in your brain way before you're a winner in reality. And so with your self-talk, right, and you can't be asking others for permission. This is all you, right? No one else owns your success but you. It's all on you. Nobody is coming to save you, right? It's all on you. But you first got to be trying to cultivate being a winner in your noggin before you ever will be in reality. Otherwise, it just doesn't work. So guys, thanks so much for this episode. Longer episode, but gosh, I love this stuff so much. Entrepreneurial confidence is a massive deal. It's one of the greatest. I want to do this episode because if this is something that I can solve or at least help nudge in the right direction, the amount of ripple effect when one entrepreneur actually goes out and gets their thing to take traction, this isn't bullcrap, fluffy stuff. This is, it literally changes the world. And I got a ton of you who listen to the show. So this is the impact of this type of episode is really huge. So you guys are amazing. You're all winners. And you're a winner before you win in your head, right? You always are a winner before, and you got to do that. And get rich on purpose. Who cares how long it takes? It's you against you, you against yesterday. Remember that you'll be prepared while you move. Create environments that supersede your willpower. And just keep watching that self-talk. See you guys in the next episode. And if you guys want, capitalismswag.com. Yeah, we got the swag store up. Yeah. Finally, especially after all the scamdemic happened. Scamdemic is over, so I think we can actually, we can international ship again. So, woo, it's awesome. All right, guys, we'll see you later. Bye. You guys know the Get Rich, Give Back is the slogan of the capitalist pig. Because money doesn't change us, it also amplifies us, right? It's a magnifier of who you really are at your core, which makes it a really good teacher. So, considering everything going on, there's nothing like passively offending whiny, small-brain socialists, and it's very easy to do. Number one, go get your capitalist pig shirt at capitalismswag.com. Number two, put it on. And then number three, watch the face melt off of anyone with what I call tiny brain syndrome and those who hate healthy economies. If you can't tell, I am vehemently against socialism. And it's because the capitalist pig message is a call to remember to use your own willpower to carve your own path, right? It's the ultimate ownership and self-fulfillment.
We have Capitalist Pig shirts, hats, sweaters, stickers, more. We got tons of stuff in there now. There's never been a time like this in human history where the sickness of entitlement is spreading. I believe in work. I want the grit, right? There's a serious need for all of us to open our mouths and start talking about this more and say that we choose to have choice. We choose the struggle towards the goal, right? Rather than to be coddled and sedated into socialism. Yes, I'm very passionate about this. If this is resonating with you and you believe the same, go get your capitalism swag at capitalismswag.com. I honestly believe that God would rather me be rich than poor, right? I can do more with more money. Money's not evil. It's quite literally cotton. Capitalism fosters personal power and growth. And so I say yes to the grit of all of it. If this is resonating with you, please stand with us, open your mouth more, and go get your swag at capitalismswag.com.